We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of 3Maw.
Hello and welcome into another edition of 3Maw. I am John Kurtz, joined by my good friends Derek Young and Cole Manbeck. Today we are talking transfer portal and we are talking commits because K-State has their newest commit, and wouldn't you know it, it was somebody that was right at the top of the Cole Manbeck big board. If you are a member at patreon.com/3Maw, you can see the big board updated, and CJ Jones was numero uno on the latest edition of Cole's big board. He is now a Wildcat, the transfer from Illinois Chicago, 6'5", a buck 85, has some nice length on the perimeter, good three-point shot on limited sample size, good assist numbers. It's a lot to like here about a guy with a nice season at UIC and has 2 years of eligibility left. So we'll be breaking that down throughout the show today. It calls for a raising of your glasses, and they should be filled with Ben Holiday Bottled in Bond Bourbon from our friends at Holiday Distillery. It is great stuff. Cole is literally drinking it right now as he was just getting done telling us how much of it he drank on Saturday. I saw the pictures of Cole drinking it on Saturday with his neighbors, spreading the word around as he gathered around the fire and broke bread with his neighbors deep in the heart of Texas as they wore their 10-gallon hats in Texas to celebrate that. So Ben Holiday Bottled in Bond Bourbon, making its way all across the country. Make sure that you get some. Support our friends at Holiday Distillery, who are great cats, who support us as well. What, was there something wrong with that? I felt like that was pretty factual.
You guys are so funny on the Discord channel all the time, coming up with your creative jokes on Patreon as well. So get me to laugh hard every time. So entertained by it.
Well, let me just recycle a joke then, Cole. I know that you can afford a lot of Ben Holiday Bottled in Bond Bourbon because there's no state income tax in Texas.
Yeah, see, knew exactly where you're going with that too. So we emptied a bottle of Ben Holiday Bottled in Bond Bourbon this last Saturday night. The neighbors are big fans of Ben Holiday Bottled in Bond Bourbon, and Holiday Distillery actually wanted to see if I could go out to Weston that day, but couldn't because of Brody's baseball practice. So they were wanting to go out to Weston to the Holiday Distillery tour. So a lot of people, big fans around here of Holiday.
Yeah, well, I mean, for real, I do see it all over the place now. So they are making their mark. So is the coaching staff landing CJ Jones. This was one of the first guys that we heard about when portal season came around this year in the offseason. There is a K-State connection there. Obviously, he is a former teammate of Michaela Bridge out of East St. Louis. They played on the same high school team. And I heard Jerome Tang say in an interview that he did with ESPN Central Texas just today, as we record this on Monday night, that Buddy Rich was the lead recruiter here. Like, he was the guy that was doing a lot of the work in pulling CJ Jones in. Now, he's not super high up on a lot of the transfer portal lists, which can be a tricky exercise and a dangerous exercise to put too much stock into. He has kind of flown under the radar, but it felt like K-State had a pretty good beat on this one early on. And then interest picked up from schools like Illinois, Creighton, and Xavier later on in the process, but K-State was able to lock him down after his visit. So, DY, how excited should K-State fans be about CJ Jones?
Very excited, in my opinion. It's a guy that you could tell he had a light bulb moment, right? This past season, which was only his second year of college basketball. The first half of the season looked like he was still trying to transition to college basketball, getting his feet wet and kind of growing into his role and understanding maybe the speed of the game and stuff of that nature. Because the second half of the season at Illinois-Chicago, he was a different player. He was, you know, perhaps one of the best players in the Missouri Valley Conference at that point. Scored in double figures, I think like 15 of the last 17 or 18 games, I want to say. And obviously in the second half of the season was over 40% from three. He finished 38% from the three-point line. Not a lot of volume, but that's still really good. And if you take good shots, the right threes, I think it's going to stick. And then on top of that, a 30% assist rate. But more than anything, my takeaways from a very, very positive standpoint of what excites me would be the fact that you could tell he figured it out, like the light bulb moment. So I think the best is still yet to come for CJ Jones. And the second fact is just the length on the perimeter, because Kansas State was in need of that, right? He had smaller guards already with Dede Ames, David Castillo, Doug McDaniel. So he's a larger, you know, longer guard that can, so you won't have the mismatches on the perimeter, having to have a smaller guard, you know, someone that's a little bit longer. He's going to be a defensive weapon on the perimeter because of that.
I think it's important to note, John, as you outlined at the beginning there, that this is a guy that was in tier one category for K-State and his coaching staff when they went out on the recruiting trail and the transfer portal opened up. This is not a backup plan. While he is not appearing in most of the transfer portal rankings on three specifically, as just recently evaluated him as the 290th ranked transfer in the portal, I would take that with a grain of salt, just because, as DY mentioned, you know, he's reported Illinois, Creighton, Xavier, other high major programs were after CJ Jones. They saw a lot of potential with him, and you have to take these recruiting ranking transfer service rankings with a grain of salt at times. So I would certainly do that with him, because he is a talented piece that the staff has wanted from the start, and they landed him. And credit to DY on all the reporting from the start of this at KSO on three, because he's been on top of this one from the beginning. He was on the top of the patreon.com/3mall big board with a big write-up on him there you can check out as well. But that's a credit, because DY has been on top of this from the start. It's a guy, over his last 17 games, as DY mentioned, 14 points a game, shot 45% from the floor, shot 40% from three during that stretch, highlighted by a game on February 28th where he had 16 points and 14 assists to just two turnovers against Drake, who was the number 10 seed in the NCAA tournament, won 28 games this year. Typically a solid defensive team. They were top 75 in KenPom's defensive rankings as well. So monstrous numbers there. He had three games this year where he had 10 or more assists. He had eight games where he had eight assists or more. This is a guy that can really distribute the basketball. The 29% assist rate that DY mentioned, 30% assist rate, hovering right around there, that would rank in a tie for 70th in the country with Iowa State's Tamon Lipsey. Only two other Big 12 players in the country, or two other players in the Big 12, had a higher assist rate this year, and that was Ray J. Dennis of Baylor and then Jamal Shedd, an All-American for Houston. And he did it in the Missouri Valley Conference. A lot of people may not remember that Illinois-Chicago now is in the Missouri Valley. And that, I believe it's DY, correct me if I'm wrong, KSU_fan said they graded out as the 10th toughest conference in the metrics. You know, you look in the past, like there's some other leagues that people take teams from or players from, and they're 27th, 28th in the country in metrics. The Missouri Valley is a solid conference to be respected. Some quality teams in there. One NCAA tournament team, Indiana State, went to the championship of the NIT. So a lot to be excited about here. A really good distributor. A guy that can be a playmaker, really isolate and create a shot, and he can shoot the ball effectively.
And he does have the pedigree, too, of being a guy that at one point was committed to Missouri coming out of high school. So this is not somebody that was, you know, a totally unheralded recruit that went to Illinois, Chicago and played his way up. He's been on high major radars for a long time. Coaching change at Mizzou changed his plans, and obviously being from East St. Louis, pretty close to go to Chicago there for him. to stay at UIC for a couple of years, but now you get him with 2 years of eligibility. Seems to be trending upward in the right direction. I heard again Jerome Tang talking about him on Matt Mosley's radio show, and he really mentioned, like, yeah, this guy has the traits. Like, he has the stuff that they really like in guys, like the length and athleticism that can make him a really effective guard. So I think they feel like they can develop him. And hey, if we're talking about, I mean, obviously Marquise, what he did a couple of years ago, Noel, is certainly a huge feather in the cap of the development of this staff with guards. But even you look at last year, Cam Carter for half a season was much, much better. And then Tyler Perry over the back half of the season, what they were able to do with him, just turning him into like a completely different player. I mean, I think there's plenty of evidence here to suggest that you give these guys a guard like this, a toolsy guard like this, that they can definitely do something to make him much better and evolve him into the kind of player that they envision him being.
Yeah, I think just for what they need, and we'll see, his role is probably still undetermined. Everyone's role is probably still undetermined at this point because you don't know who you're going to have. You don't know yet how the pieces fit together because you haven't practiced together, a lot of these guys. But for CJ Jones, more than anything, I think they'll need his defense on the perimeter because he is the one that provides the length at this point, but also just being able to knock down some shots. He was more playmaker role at Illinois Chicago, and perhaps he'll still have some of that still in the Kansas State offense, of course. But you got to remember, you got Data Ames and you had Doug McDaniel, so he won't be on the ball as much as he probably was, you know, for the Flames of Illinois Chicago.
The other thing to keep in mind, too, is we talk about the assist rate, the ability to create, and you talk about Doug McDaniel, too, right? So we're talking about CJ Jones with a nearly 30% assist rate. I believe Doug McDaniel was around 27%. You've got CJ at 4.8 assists per game. You had Doug McDaniel at 4.7 assists per game. Both of those guys' assist rates, from what I can recall, are higher than anybody that K-State had on the entire team last year. And so, from a distribution factor and ability to create for others, I think K-State has certainly upgraded here.
Yeah, creation was probably the missing link to last year's team from an offensive standpoint. I don't think they really replicated that well at all after the loss of Marquise Noel.
Well, I will, and the one thing that I will push back on a little bit here, just to look, I'm very excited for him, and maybe pushback is the wrong thing, but to throw like, hey, here is a concern if you're just looking at the numbers from last year with CJ Jones, it is the turnovers, because he had a slightly higher turnover rate than, for instance, Cam Carter did last year. But I think if I want to push back on my own point there, it would be kind of what Cole was just saying, like he's not going to have to create as much on this team as he would have been forced to on a 12-win Illinois Chicago team last year. Like, the role will get different. You're going to have guys to take more pressure off. This is just me reading folks in a Discord, but I saw a lot of people who apparently had watched some Illinois Chicago basketball. Cole may be on that list. Godspeed to them for doing it, but that UIC did not run very good offense. There was a lot of criticism for the coaching staff there and what they were doing trying to run the offense. So it may not have been just a great situation overall, but that is a concern, something to watch for, because what was one of K-State's biggest problems last year? I will reference the Jerome Tang interview that I listened to again. He said, obviously, one of our biggest problems was not taking care of the basketball. Now, he also praised CJ Jones and said he's a guy that can take care of the rock. So the turnover rate would kind of speak to a different story on that, at least so far in his career, but they certainly believe he has the potential to be someone that could take care of the ball a little better.
Usage can affect that. We'll see how that changes things. You mentioned it already, but usage percentage, being on the ball versus a little bit more off the ball, those things might enhance his numbers even more, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, he had a usage rate of nearly 24 this last year. I mean, I think you think about a guy that's 6'5", that has a ball in his hands that much creating for others, it's a little unusual, honestly. He was forced to play point guard a lot at UIC, and I don't think that'll be the case at K-State. He'll be able to slide off the ball more. He'll still be able to create for others, but probably can be a more prolific scorer as a result and cut down on those turnovers.
And one final point here, I mean, something that I like, I talked about this on the show that we did earlier. We had a pod, if you wanted to get these kinds of pods in real time, the quick reaction. We did have one on the Patreon page, patreon.com/3maw, but It is $5 to join if you want to get signed up there for bonus content and get in the Discord where you're getting info in real time. I said I like where this is going as far as three-point shooting is concerned because, yes, lower volume, less than 100 three-point shots. It was in the 80s, right? 82 maybe that he took last year. But 38%, 40-plus percent in the last 17 games of the season. Those are things to really like. Doug McDaniel can definitely shoot it a little bit. Day-Day Ames, light bulb started to come on with his shot in the back half of last season. And then you're adding David Castillo, too, out of the high school ranks. Now, who knows how much he will play, but he is a guy that definitely has the trait that he can really shoot the ball. So they seem to be moving in the right direction as far as that goes for a team that could shoot it a little better. So that is the good concrete news right now. There are a bunch of other balls being juggled that are up in the air right now with this staff, and we will certainly get to that right after we tell you about our good friends at Home Field Apparel that will get you all the best K-State gear that you need. DY, you're smiling. I saw you had a shirt on earlier. What home field shirt are you rocking today? Oh, wow.
Shout out to Scott Drew for staying at Baylor and eliminating any extra anxiety for us.
Much better, DY, this week. This is much, much better. I mean, it's a school that also crushed national championship hopes for Kansas State as well. So you'd crossed another box there by 2012 by keeping K-State out of the title game, just like 1998 with the 12th man Texas A&M shirt. But you know what? That wound is maybe healed a little bit. You know, fresh of mind is Scott Drew remaining and turning down Kentucky and alleviating any concerns. I don't think Jerome Tang would have left for Baylor anyways. But we don't have to worry about that anymore. The carousel has ended.
Yeah. 2012, that was not the best team in the country. 1998, that was the best team in the country. That's the one I will never be able to live with. So yeah, that can pass as far as I'm concerned, anyway. That can pass as far as I'm concerned. Well, he got it at homefieldapparel.com. And if you use promo code 3MON23, you can get 15% off your first order. You don't have to get a Baylor shirt, people. You can get they've got like 50-plus now K-State designs. We used to always say 40-plus, but they had a new drop that came out. Make sure you check out that K-State shooting shirt that I think is awesome. Wear it to Cole's house if you're driving down to Texas anytime soon. Wear it to a wedding. Send him a picture. Let him know that you can wear that shooting shirt anywhere. It is incredible. I love it. Old school Copper Bowl shirts. Whatever it is that you want, they've got it covered at homefieldapparel.com. Promo code 3MAW23 for 15% off your first order. It is the spot where everybody is getting their college gear these days. So go see our friends there, and we are back in just a moment.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, C.J. Jones was not the only visitor that K-State had on campus over the weekend. We also had Baba Miller, who was a Florida State transfer, 6'11", 204. He is a wing and a guy that has drawn some comparisons to Naquan Tomlin, which should definitely perk K-State fans' ears up because that worked out very well the first time the staff was able to go identify Tomlin. He was an under-the-radar junior college recruit. Miller seemed like a little bit more under the radar as far as the portal goes. He is ranked number 137 in the On3 industry consensus, but pretty toolsy guy that seems to have a really high upside here. He did not commit on the visit, but I know K-State staff is still working very, very hard to close him. This is somebody that is a high priority that they very much want. How are we feeling at this moment about where K-State stands with Miller?
To be determined. I don't think that there's a lot of, I guess, clarity on how this will go. I think in his mind, it sounds like he might be leaning towards taking additional visits, but I believe there's still time between now and then and some opportunities for Kansas State to perhaps shut that down and seal the deal. We'll see if they are able to do that, but I think they'll have the opportunity still and a little bit more time to prevent those visits from happening should they happen. And then you're obviously, it doesn't mean it's absolutely over, obviously, but you do tempt fate a little bit and it makes it a little bit tougher.
This was a little bit of a surprise. I think it came in, DY? It was either Thursday or Friday morning when we found out about Bob I. Miller, and then the visit we found out about just shortly after. This is a supreme talent. Look, he's 6'11". He was a top 90 recruit out of high school. He was one of the top international prospects coming in the 2022 recruiting class. He was out of Spain and was thought, you know, he was on NBA radars at various points, and he still is. In fact, there's multiple services that have him as a late second round pick, despite only having 7.6 points per game this past season at Florida State. So as a freshman, he played in 15 games, averaged 4.3 points, 3.7 rebounds, and 17 minutes per game. And despite that, ESPN draft analyst Jonathan Givony, and I apologize, I think I might have mispronounced Jonathan's name, but he's very well respected in NBA circles, draft analyst for ESPN. And in August 2023 mock, after his freshman season at Florida State, he still had Baba Miller projected to be the 37th pick in the 2024 NBA draft. The Athletic had him projected to be taken with the 49th pick in the 2024 draft, and currently Givony has him ranked as the 59th prospect in the 2024 draft, despite his sophomore season at Florida State, where he did improve, but still has more areas. There's a high ceiling there. Jonathan Wasserman of Bleacher Report had him projected currently as the number 57 pick in the 2024 draft. So just for clarification for our listeners, he is somebody that is in the transfer portal, but is going through the pre-draft NBA process. Guy that was 6'2" at the age of 14. He was a guard. Well, he's retained his guard skills. He's now 6'11". He's got a 7'2" wingspan. So he's got the traits of a guard. He can handle the rock. He's got really good handles, ability to pass and shoot. Shot 29% from three this past season on a 2.5 attempts per game. As a freshman, 25% from three. But you watch the form. It looked really good, and I think his numbers could take a big jump. There's a lot of potential there. And when you look at him, he started playing for European power Real Madrid since he was 12 years old, was part of the winning team at the Adidas Next Generation Tournament, considered to be the best junior program in Europe. He was part of the Spanish U18 national team that went undefeated in the FIBA European Challengers. He was their second leading scorer at nearly 12 points per game, 4.4 rebounds, shot 64% on twos, shot 50% on threes. The year prior to his arrival at Florida State, played for Real Madrid's B team, averaged 11.3 points, 5.3 rebounds, shot 69% on twos and 35% on threes. So he can shoot the ball. There is the potential to do that. He's a positionless type player. Naquan Tomlin is definitely a name that I think could ring a bell. And so I love this possible addition. I think the staff really wants him. I really want him. And hopefully they're able to close on him before he takes additional visits.
Yeah, and I guess like on the Tomlin front, like not as like springy and explosive necessarily, but like fluid guard-like skills on the perimeter and can still shoot it. And obviously has a frame that's very similar to Tomlin there. The other thing, Cole, I think is just the fit at how Florida State was trying to use him, because I know you highlighted this quote earlier, but this is from Cole's big board, but Jonathan Givony of ESPN said the 23-24 season was a frustrating one for Miller and FSU fans alike. The talent was so clearly there, but it just looked like he didn't enjoy being on the court, which could be due to a lot of things, but I believe it was play style. He wanted to be on the perimeter where his talent fits best, and Florida State wanted to use him as a Jonathan Isaac-like defensive chess piece that can play on the perimeter and down low on both ends of the floor. So I'd imagine that he's very much looking for somewhere where he can play more out on the perimeter, and that the K-State would be very much willing to accommodate that and hopefully help him hit some of that NBA potential.
I'm sure that's what they're selling him on, the ability to play out on the wing a lot more, the freedom that Kansas State allows their guys to play with. You know, part of the discussion around the five-out offense last year and going to it was giving more freedom, spacing the floor, enabling guys like a Baba Miller to be able to attack, slash, create plays for others, kick out, pass, hit open corner threes, cut to the basket, et cetera, for various spots. So I think he's a perfect fit, and I think the staff sees the potential there in the high ceiling. They think they can unlock it and get him into the NBA draft, not only as like a late second-round pick, but elevate him potentially to a first-round pick because the talent is there. So, and as part of that, obviously help Kansas State win a lot of games and get a lot more length. You know, last year, Will McNair, David Gasson on the floor at the four and the five so much. You put a guy like this out there, you know, with a CJ Jones, with a Doug McDaniel, Day-Day Ames, et cetera, you can space the floor a little bit more.
No doubt. Now, the next position that people are going to be wondering about and where we're getting a lot of questions is the bigs. K-State is after two. They're very high profile. They're very expensive in the transfer portal, but hey, this is what you gear up and get the extra NIL resources for. One of them is Omar Ballo from Arizona. He's a seven-footer out of Arizona who's got a year left, one of the most coveted players in the portal. He had scheduled visits per Joe Tipton to Indiana, Louisville, and K-State. He has he officially left as we record Monday night? Has he officially left Bloomington yet? I've seen the picture from him at Indiana, and I know there had been some concern about whether or not he would be committed by the time he left. I've not seen, as we record Monday night, a commitment or that he is out of town there. But the hope is that he makes it through all three visits and you get your chance to sell him as the last visit.
I don't think anything's officially been canceled. It doesn't sound like, from what we have gathered from folks that we trust that kind of know what's going on. But at the same time, there is definitely considerable Indiana chatter. They definitely have the momentum. They're probably doing what a lot of teams are doing around this time for a guy that they like and trying to prevent additional visits from taking place. We'll know more if he makes that Louisville visit, right? Because if he takes the Louisville visit, then I would imagine and he's going to go forward and take, you know, all three that he previously had scheduled, which that includes K-State. So I don't think we're going to know for what happens for another day or two. But right now, there definitely is some chatter being guided towards Indiana in this one. And obviously, you mentioned Clifford Amori as well from Rutgers, another target. And I think it's still going to be some time before we know how that one is shifting as well. But obviously, that's going to be a big position of need and some emphasis moving forward as Kansas State crosses, you know, checks off a lot of boxes of what they needed to accomplish in the transfer portal. Now it becomes a little bit more narrow, and you're looking at them probably going to generate more emphasis on the front court moving forward.
Yeah, look, K-State has honed in on arguably the two top centers in the entire transfer portal. They're both in the top 10 transfer portal rankings throughout. Clifford Amore from Rutgers, as DY mentioned, 7'6" wingspan. And then Omar Ballo from Arizona, who's the number two player in the On3 industry consensus rankings, found out about the visit that's supposed to occur at K-State April 19th to the 21st. As you guys just mentioned, he's at Indiana currently. I believe he leaves, John, on Tuesday morning. So when you're listening to this, he's probably left, hopefully not with committing to the Hoosiers. He's supposed to visit Louisville, I believe, April 16th to the 18th, and then Manhattan April 19th to the 21st. It might be off just a hair there, but that's the order of the visit. So if he does go to Louisville, like DY mentioned, there's probably a strong likelihood he's going to finish out the visits in case it'll at least have a fighter's chance to deliver its message when he is in Manhattan, because he is a big-time talent. Averaged 13 points, 10 rebounds per game this past season for Arizona. 7-footer, 260 pounds. You know, he is a gigantic big with a ton of talent. Averaged as a junior, 14 points and nearly 9 rebounds per game. First team all Pac-12 each his junior and senior season. Originally started his career at Gonzaga, where he redshirted. Then he played 1 year there. He's been at Arizona the last 3 years. Actually going to be a 6-year guy at the college level, but he's still pretty young for his age. He actually doesn't turn 22 until July this year. So really young for his class because he reclassified coming out of high school. He's from the country in Africa called Mali.
And Folly Dante, a star big man for Oregon, also from Mali. It's a country that's picking up steam. There was a good article, and I think it was Forbes, written about the basketball picking up steam in that country of late. Ballo scored in double figures in 32 of 36 games this past season, recorded 10 or more rebounds in 21 of 36 contests, had 10 or more rebounds in 17 of their final 21 games this last season, recorded an offensive rating of nearly 120. One of the best rebounders in the country, both offensive and defensive rebounding, was 19th nationally in defensive rebounding percentage, according to Mark Torvik, was 15th in the country in offensive rebounding percentage, shot 73% on shots at the rim on 226 attempts, 63 made dunks, ninth most in the country. Arizona's career leader in field goal percentage, one of 10 players in program history to record 1,000 points, 800 rebounds, has 34 career double-doubles there, tied for the third most in school history. He had 20 double-doubles this past season, also tied for the third most in school history. Scored in double figures in 61 of the 71 games the last 2 years at Arizona. Has had rebounds of 10 or more in 46% of those games, 33 of 71. One of the most experienced players in college basketball. He's played in 132 games, started 71 in the last 2 years. So big-time piece here that you hope you can get to Manhattan for a visit, because he would be quite the addition to this team. If not, Clifford Amore, you know, I could make an argument that he's just right there. I would love either one of these guys, and I think the K-State coaching staff would echo that.
Well, nobody's talking about the fact that if you land Cliff, then, I mean, he could be nicknamed Clifford the Big Red Dog, and by dog, I mean D-A-W-G, you know?
Wow, that's...
I'm sure he'll get a lot of that wherever he goes. Yep.
I'm sure he's never heard that before. So,
yeah, as Nick points out, I mean, he's from Rutgers. So, like, I know, were people using that at Rutgers? Because if not, we're going to need to have a conversation. I mean, that, I don't know. Do Rutgers students exist? Do they have sports fans?
They actually have created quite the atmosphere, I think, at the RAC, is what they call it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and look, Amore is a guy from also Africa. He's from Nigeria originally. I think he moved to the U.S. around the age of 15. Really neat story, and a big-time talent. He was the best shot blocker in college basketball with a his block percentage was like 12.9%, which is the best in the game, according to Bart Torvik this last year. So two or three-time defensive all-first team in the Big Ten. Just a big-time talent. Would be thrilled with either one of those two.
Hey, last time K-State got a transfer from Rutgers, Jermaine Maybank, baby. Murder Maybank. That was awesome. You know, he dropped like 28 in Allen Fieldhouse once upon a time. Cole, what year was it that K-State went and played at the RAC? Was that Woldridge or was that the Huggins year? I feel like it might have been the Huggins year.
Oh, my gosh. We are going to have to check. Jeff D.Y., do you remember watching that game? Now, you would have been – did you watch that game?
I can't. I don't think so. You're funny. You said you were talking about a Rutgers transfer to Kansas State, and it made me think the last Kansas State player to transfer to Rutgers, Joshua Youngblood.
Boy, yeah. Just keep the good vibes rolling, D.Y.
All right. I am double-checking this because this would eat at me if we didn't have this. Do you remember? I think
already
it was.
Already found it. It was the Huggins year. And I'm actually shocked here because the final score was 55-41. So, I mean, you know, sounds like a real barn burner of a game. What a series that was, because the Rutgers game was the one where they did like dollar dog night or free hot dog night, and they ran out of hot dogs and everybody was mad. And
it was dollar. Yeah. Yeah, John. So. John, I was at the game. We sat in the first row right by the student section with my parents, and we did not get a hot dog. They were out. Dollar hot dog night. Remember, K-State was like 7-0 or 8-0 to start the year. They played nobody.
No.
But we were excited, man. I remember checking the receive votes to see if K-State Hoops under Woldridge that year had received votes. I think that's also the year that we thought they might get in the NIT. And you and me were probably both refreshing NIT bracketology, and Wichita State got in over us. We had Jeremiah Massey on that team. We lost that game to Rutgers and Bramlage, D.Y., and I was crushed. Like, everybody keep perspective of what it used to be like and appreciate these days. I was crushed by losing to a shitty Rutgers team in Bramlage Coliseum on dollar hot dog night in front of 9,000-10,000 fans back in the day, and looking at NIT bracketology that year.
Well, I'm not proud to admit that. I mean, one of the worst things I ever did as a fan was I wrote an angry email to the executive director of the NIT that year.
And so, and you got on me for saying I was going to try to get the NIT director of the bracket on this year for putting K-State on the road?
Well, I mean, I was like 14 years old, dude. Like, what do you want from me?
Oh, my God. Do you have a copy of that communication still? Can we see that?
Oh, man. No, I've tried. Believe me, I've tried. I've tried to find it. I couldn't find it. Quincy Doobie went off in that game for Rutgers, which is a name that I do remember.
Didn't he play in the pros? Did he go pro? Why? You remember Quincy Doobie?
The name does sound familiar.
There we go. Man. Who do you think was K-State's leading scorer?
David Hoskins.
No, David Hoskins was not playing in this game.
He came a year later, didn't he? Jeremiah Massey.
Yeah, he did. It was actually not Jeremiah Massey. Held in check, man. 2 for 12 from the floor. Shout out to the Scarlet Knights for that one. No, it was the one and only Fred Pete. Pete had 16 in that game.
And Quincy Doobie was picked 19th in the first round of the NBA draft in 2006. Man, look at that.
Was it really?
Yeah. You guys enjoying this rabbit hole discussion here? We went down the rabbit hole on Rutgers versus K-State basketball.
Whatever. Someone, man. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. You guys can listen to it. Love it or leave it.
I enjoy it too. And somebody send to Clifford, you know, our record against Rutgers the last time we matched up. Oh, I guess we're not competing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, K-State did turn around and win 55-41 at the rack the next year. 14-4 from David Hoskins. Lance Harris had 13 rebounds. How about that?
I told you Lance Harris was underrated. You slandered his ass last time we talked about him.
Well, he also shot 4 for 10 from the floor. So
40%.
Akeem Wright was 1 for 10. And Jermaine Maybank, who had just transferred from Rutgers, was 1 for 5. So
man,
the hell of a box score.
I guess it won't work. It won't do a lot for Cliff that we're not competing against Rutgers for him. We're competing against some blue bloods for him.
Jermaine Maybank, he had a legendary performance inside Allen Fieldhouse, which I'm sure Cliff would as well becomes a cat.
Yeah. So if they don't get Ballo or Amore, then they'll have to reevaluate the board at the five spot. I'm sure there's going to be more talent that enters before the transfer portal deadline ends, but if they could get one of those two, case this roster would be in really, really good shape.
Yeah, this is where I do feel like, I mean, you gotta really go all in with the spend here. It's going to cost you, but that's why you've amped up all the NIL resources that you have, and that was a part of keeping Jerome Tang around. Anybody that we're missing? I mean, I know people were upset about Mykel Brown-Jones going to Ole Miss, who now apparently is also getting a visit from Dre Davis. Like, I don't know how many guys they can recruit at that same position.
Yeah, they landed Malik. The Dre Davis is visiting Ole Miss on Tuesday per Pete Thamel. So
I don't understand what Chris Beard is doing with that roster. But he's just accumulating a bunch of 6'6 to 6'8 guys that play similar positions. Like, I don't know. Is there anybody else on the big board DY for you that we should highlight that you think they're after? I mean, Omaha Blue, nothing really new there. Power forward transfer from Iowa State. I'm just scrolling down the Patreon big board.
We did get a Patreon question about that, Cole, if there was anything to share on Omaha Blue.
I have not heard anything. Quadir Copeland, DY, any buzz? I mean, he's been linked to K-State, transfer guard, 6'6" from Syracuse. Anything you're hearing there?
That wouldn't make a lot of sense, as like we've been saying. Outside of the five spot, they're probably searching for more shooters and space guys, and he can't shoot either. So
the one thing I was going to say to your point, John, about three-point shooting, Day-Day in his last 15 games went 15 of 33 from three, which is 45% from beyond the arc. And Doug, in his 2 years at Michigan, 56 of 152, 36.3%. Or I'm sorry, Doug is 89 of 245, which is 36.3%. And CJ is 36% in his career, 54 of 150 from three. So, I mean, all those guys
Now, Day-Day, I know I'm pulling from last 15 games. He shot 33% overall from three last year. But and RJ Jones has the capability to be a knockdown shooter. We just got to see it.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, shooting seems to be trending in the right direction. I like that. You guys know that if you pay attention on the old Discord, which you can access, patreon.com/3mall. We'd love to see some more of you there. It is, it's been lively and happening, man. You can get all the info, all the jokes, and all the information that you want about how insurance claims work on our Discord. We truly do it all. So we appreciate all of you guys for checking in here today. If something pops, you know, we'll be back at it with more. And by pops, I mean a commit here for the Cats. We'll continue to follow what's going on in the portal, but they do have a couple talented guys locked up in the backcourt now with the commitment of CJ Jones. Appreciate our friends at Holiday Distillery. Thank you to Homefield Apparel. Thank you to Nick Springer behind the scenes. For DY, for Cole, I am John Kurtz. Thank you for listening to another edition of 3 Mall.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.